Don't pull over. Just turn the volume up. It's time for Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan. We're calling out those who are bridging the gap to improve the lives and safety of others. Here now is your host, Campus Top Cop, Brian Dugan.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the premiere episode of Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan. This is your host, Brian Dugan, the Chief of Police for the City of Tampa. And today for the premiere episode, I have the 58th mayor for the City of Tampa, the Honorable Bob Buckhorn. Welcome, Mayor.
Chief, it's good to be here. This is the first of what I hope will be many podcasts.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for me. What we were trying to do was figure out a way to reach a different audience and really try to find a way to communicate better with people. You know, social media is an interesting platform, but the podcast is kind of the up-and-coming way to communicate. And so we just thought it would be an easy, simple way. So, you know, I'm really honored to have you here today, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I think today you had your final food truck rally.
Everything I do is my final something. It's been a month of collecting plaques and doing final things. Yeah, today was the last mayor's food truck rally for me. Hopefully the next mayor will continue that tradition. But, yeah, I've got about 23, 24 days left. So I'm coming down the home stretch, and I hate to tell you that I'm going to launch a competing podcast as the former washed-up mayor of the City of Tampa. And so we may have to share some bandwidth, and I would be happy to have you as my guest on my podcast.
Well, that is exciting.
I can tell you.
That's something that I will get to near the end of the show is what your next step is going to be. And I know you're asked that all the time. And you know, you have been a dear friend of the police department for years. And, I personally want to thank you because you have really, in my term as chief, the short time we've been together, it's coming up on 2 years, believe it or not, you have really been a friend and mentor and a huge supporter of me that, you know, certainly does not go unnoticed by myself or the rest of the department. But going back to April 1st, 2001, or 2011, when you took over, you know, as you reminisce, what was that first week like on the job? And you had worked, you know, there's probably no one more prepared to be mayor when you look at your time with Mayor Friedman, your time on city council. You know, you had a unique perspective coming in, but I'm sure it had to be, you know, maybe overwhelming. Well, how was that?
You know, the answer is yes to all of the above. Yes, I was probably uniquely prepared for the job to the extent that anybody can be. There's really no manual for how to be a mayor and certainly how to be a good mayor. So a lot of it is intuition. A lot of it is your gut. A lot of it is your prior life experiences. Some of it is the relationships that you've built along the way. Certainly a significant part of it is the knowledge of how city runs and the role of a strong mayor and a strong mayor form of government. But on April 1st of 2011, I literally walked into the door. I had a week between the runoff and the inauguration. And so I was working on transition and interviewing staff members and during that week. But the day I stepped in, nobody left me a manual as to how to do this job. And so we were facing, as you recall, a $30 million deficit on day one. We were in the midst of the worst recession since the Great Depression. I am very thankful I followed Mayor Iorio because she left the reserves very, very healthy. That allowed me to tap the reserves for 3 years to get us through this recession. I was facing three union contract negotiations coming up, just as the next mayor will this summer. And so it was like drinking water out of a fire hose. Every day we were in there grinding it out, mainly with the budget people, trying to figure out how we could get that $30 million down to a balanced budget submitted 3 months later. It took a lot of work by a lot of good, smart, talented people. And, we persevered and we made it through it. And the end result is 8 years later, we find ourselves as one of the hottest real estate markets in America and a place where the best and the brightest talent wants to come.
Yeah, it certainly has been, quite the adventure for you. You know, when you look from Riverwalks to hurricanes to serial killers, and, you know, you have probably experienced not probably, there's no doubt, you've experienced things that any mayor in the nation has not gone through. Whether you want to talk about, like you said, the budget crisis to the social issues. You and I were intimately involved in a serial killer, which, you know, not fortunately, not many people get to deal with.
Yeah,
but, you
I was
know.
Driving through the box this weekend, and, you know, just driving those streets once again.
Yeah, it was certainly a life-altering time for, I think, for both of us and for the city. And, you know, I think some of the good things that came out of it is we made some lifelong friends with some members of the community through it.
Yeah, and I think the community showed what it was made of. You know, the neighborhoods that were directly affected by this bonded together. They got stronger as to the extent that a horrific, searing experience like this can bond you. And I think they emerged out of that darkness probably better, acknowledging the lives that were lost in the process. But, you know, I think Tampa should be proud of how it reacted in that circumstance. And, you know, for 51 days, you and I would pass each other out there in the street, driving the box, as we called it. You know, I don't know what we were thinking we were going to do, but hoping that there was something that we were going to do. I might have been as heavily armed as you are.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't think people really understood the gravity of what we were up against and the concerns that we had. And me and you and I had talked about the concern that, you know, what we were going to do if we had another victim, or what if, God forbid, a police officer was killed. And not that police officers are any less or more important than anyone else, but when you have an armed uniformed police officer would have become a victim, it really, my concern is that it would have turned the city on its side.
Yeah, that was a tense 51 days. I mean, that was pervasive. You know, you saw the impact in businesses in Seminole Heights, particularly the restaurants. People were scared. I mean, you could feel it in the air, but they never quit. Never quit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the importance of having, you know, a police department that has good community relations, and how safety. Having a safe city affects how a mayor goes about doing their job.
You know, you can't attract people to come to your city. You can't build an economy that's sustainable if people don't feel like they're safe. You're not going to attract capital here. You're not going to attract investors. You're not going to attract corporate relocations if there is a pervasive or perceived sense of fear. I mean, and you and I know of cities around the country in which you know, folks will not move there, will not go there, will not invest there because either the community relations component is not working or the crime rate is too high. And in this case, we have neither. I mean, we have a city that is very, very safe by comparison to other similarly sized cities. We have a community relationship, and a relationship specifically with the police department and our communities of color that I would submit to you is as strong and as solid as any place in the country. Now, that took 30-plus years of work. And I can remember in 1988, and I sound like an old-timer here, when I was the assistant to the mayor, Sandy Friedman was just elected, and we had a series of incidents where young black males died while in police custody or in confrontations with police officers, largely white police officers. The East Tampa erupted. You know, you had the dumpsters burning, you had the stores being looted, stores being burned. And I think it was at that point where Mayor Friedman and the community realized that we were not what we needed to be. And I think out of that experience, we started on a path that 30-plus years later, we find ourselves in that discussion every day with everybody. And that's the only way you can make it happen. It's not a human relations class. It's not training by a university professor. It is a constant conversation between law enforcement and the people that we serve about that relationship. And so you build on it, you grow it, it goes through its ebbs and flows, it has its hiccups. You have bad actors and bad apples on both sides of the equation. But for the most part, I think certainly your department, is committed to celebrating that diversity as reflected in the people we hire, and committed to being out there on the street, having that conversation with people about what it takes to have a good police community relationship. And the men and women of the Tampa Police Department and the leadership that has been in place since that time should be commended as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we have some incredible people in our police department and really just as many incredible people in our community, and that our relationship with the community is an ongoing situation, and that's the way it should be, because times change, people change, and that's what we need to do. So let's talk a little about a program that you started years ago, and it's been tremendously successful, and you had to juggle some things when it came to money and everything, but let's talk about the Stay and Play program. I think it's been probably one of your more successful programs that maybe really doesn't get the recognition that it deserves.
Yeah, I think that's probably an accurate portrayal, and that's okay. If you remember, a number of years ago, we had a rash of shootings, particularly with young people with guns, and young people ending up as either victims or perpetrators. And we made a decision after kind of looking and struggling with what the answer was to try and, you know, keep these young people out of harm's way, keep them away from the guns and the gangs and the violence. And so we made a decision that if we were going to shelter them, if you will, and get them off the corner and get them off the streets and get them away from the seduction of the gangs and the violence and the life, we needed to find a place where they could just be kids. And we're talking about, you know, young people as well as young teenagers, men, boys and girls. And so we made a decision to open up our parks and recreation facilities in some of our tougher neighborhoods 7 days a week until midnight. Previously, we were closed on the weekends and open till 6 o'clock during the week, which was what normal cities do.
Yeah.
And so what that did was give these young people a place where they could be safe, where they could be mentored, where they could learn skills. It was more than just about playing basketball or kickball. It was computer labs, and we had DJ equipment in there, and a lot of things that enabled them to build and grow their skill set. But most importantly, it got them off the street and got them out of harm's way. And I would guarantee, even though crimes that aren't committed you can't measure, I would guarantee you that there are young people alive today in Tampa, Florida, because of that program, because we got them off of the streets, away from the gun violence, away from the stray bullets, away from the gang life, and got them into a place where they were surrounded by people who loved them, who cared for them, who could mentor them, adults that were trying to teach them the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. And yeah, it's a program that has gotten a number of accolades around the country, but I think in the day-to-day life of Tampa, Florida, it's had a big impact.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and like you said, it's amazing the fact that national recognition we got, but I don't know if around Tampa many people are as aware of it. You know, we are because we're intimately aware of how things operate.
But I guarantee you, Chief, those moms, those single moms out there in East Tampa or West Tampa, who have to work two or three jobs just to keep food on the table, thank us every day that their kids now have a place where they can go as opposed to being latchkey kids or being seduced by what goes out on the corners.
Yeah. So, you know, in a few minutes, we're going to take some calls. For anybody who wants to call in, our phone number is 347-989-0030. That's 347-989-0030. So when we come, we'll go to a quick break here, and after that, we'll take some phone calls.
Did you know that the City of Tampa provides teens with a safe place to socialize during the summer? A place where they can play sports, hang out with friends, and eat a healthy meal. The city's Stay and Play program is where you'll find all this and more. Stay and Play is offered at select Tampa rec centers and pools, 7 days a week from 6 p.m. until midnight. Stay and Play is free, and teens ages 13 through 19 receive a complimentary rec card and a ride back home at the end of the night. Sign your child up today for Stay and Play, a safe and fun alternative to hanging in the streets during the summer. For more information about the 2019 Stay and Play program, visit your nearest Tampa Parks and Rec Center or go online to tampagov.net/teens.
And we welcome everybody back. We are here again with Roll Call with me, your host, Chief Brian Dugan. And I have the 58th mayor from the city of Tampa, Bob Buckhorn. And so, you know, we have had some tremendous success since your term here. And like I said, we focus so much on the construction that's taken place and some of the programs that we've had in neighborhoods, some of the things you've done in parks throughout the city. And like I said, I guess I have a more intimate knowledge of how you've operated over the years. And I think so much has been placed upon the downtown development, which I'm not saying it's not important, but I think some of the other great things you've done kind of get surpassed or maybe put in the shadow of some of the success we've had downtown. But let's, you know, when you look at the crime rate, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, Mayor, but the official numbers, you're going to have a 35% reduction in crime since you've taken over. And, you know, as you know, those are victims that you know, we're protecting and that we're keeping safe.
You know, and that credit absolutely goes to the men and women of the Tampa Police Department. I mean, they are the ones out there on the street day in and day out. They are the ones who are putting their life at risk every day. They're the ones answering those 911 calls. They are proactive. They are strategic and tactical about how they deploy their resources. And so in what has been a total reduction over the last decade plus of about 70%, to know that we continue to reduce crime, making us one of the safest cities in America is really a reflection on the men and women that serve. And so, yeah, I'm excited about those numbers because you're right, those victims are us. They're our family members. They're our neighbors. They're our residents. And this city is known as a very, very safe city. You know, the hard part will be, and this won't be my problem, it will be your problem, Chief, is how you continue to drive those numbers down. I don't know how much better we can be doing. Eventually, there'll be a spike up because we have just been so aggressive about reducing the crime that it's inevitable that it will be hard to maintain that. But, you know, people need to expect that, to be prepared for it. But to think that 35% over the last 8 years combined with, you know, probably the 35% from the previous administrations, I mean, I don't think there's a city in the country that can come close to those numbers. And if there is, there aren't many.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I don't think people realize how many moving parts there are to some of these programs and some of the things that go on. You know, we had your senior staff meeting this morning, and we talked about that we're over on the parade seasons and all that stuff, and how many, you know, and I thank their help because, you know, at the police department, because we wear uniforms and we have, you know, markings on our car, we're very visible, so to speak, and representing the city. But there's so many moving parts to everything that we do that it's no one department alone that does it. So tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's I mean, this really is a team effort at the city of Tampa. And what I think is this unit, if you will, functions as a very, very well-oiled, complementary of each other department. A group of departments. I mean, you think about the logistics that go into a Gasparilla invasion, or, you know, the massive lift for the Republican National Convention, or Bollywood, or the College Football National Championship. I mean, everybody from solid waste and code enforcement to police, fire, all of our folks were intimately involved in that. We had to work together, and we had to be good teammates. We had to recognize that everybody had a job to do and park the egos and park the turf and just execute. And I think we do those kinds of events as well as anybody in the country, and I think we've proven that. That's why we keep getting Super Bowls. That's why we get selected for this weekend's Women's College Final Four. That's why, you know, the Bollywood folks for the first time ever moved that event to America. We do this as well as anybody in the country. And yes, TPD and Tampa Fire get a lot of love, as they well should, but there's a lot of other agencies and folks that wear orange uniforms or green uniforms or, you know, the coveralls of Parks and Recreation that are out there working just as hard, doing just as good a job. And I have no doubt that the next mayor will inherit a very, very well-run, cohesive group of men and women that like working with each other.
Yeah. That,
we don't do drama.
No, no, there's no doubt. And, you know, it's just really amazing how well everybody works together. So, Mayor, we have our first caller on the...
it's my mother.
On our premiere show for Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan. And we have our guest. We have our guest, Mayor Bob Buckhorn, and we have Brian on the line. Brian, are you there?
I am here. Hey, Chief.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Mayor. I'm
hey,
good.
Brian, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Mayor. It's awesome to talk to you guys this morning. I just wanted to, you know, I saw you this morning at Carla Lewis's dedication, and I just, you know, I thought it was an awesome opportunity to have a public forum to personally thank you for everything that you have done for this city and for the citizens of this city, and just, you know, to let you know this morning, it would just, it all circled back for me listening to your, to how you spoke about Carla. Your passion and your dedication and your love for this city comes out in just about every single word you say. Your smile, your welcoming spirit, it is something that I believe that will be remembered for the rest of my life, and for this city. And you are leaving this city in such a wonderful place. And I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that your legacy will be your passion and the words that you share with people that come right from your heart. You inspired me again this morning. You inspire me every time I see you or shake your hand or give you a hug. You will be sorely missed, but I believe in that you're passing a torch that I think anybody who comes after you will be honored to carry.
Well, Brian, thank you for that. It's been an amazing 8-year journey for me. What I recognized, as much as I would like to stay, is that it is a journey. And I am going to pass the torch, just like the torch was passed to me. And I think one of the things that I realized along this journey is that the mayor, that the city takes on the personality of the mayor. And if the mayor is hopeful and optimistic and ambitious and unwilling to take yes and no for an answer, that permeates the ethos of this community. And I think the city's in a good place. I think we believe in each other. We believe in what our future looks like. And I think the next mayor, just like I did from Pam, is going to take this city to untold heights. And you and Hampton Terrace and all of the folks out there are going to be a big part of it. We love you guys. We appreciate during those dark hours of the serial killer that you guys stood right there shoulder to shoulder with us.
Well,
hey,
you know,
Brian,
yeah, go ahead.
I just was curious, what you know, if over the last 8 years, what sticks out in your mind most about your interactions with the mayor? You know, because most of your interactions with the mayor is pretty random. Like most people, he just kind of shows up at things. I don't know if he's got drones watching what's going on or what, but I always get, you know, text messages, you know, the mayor's out here, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what he does. So, you know, and I certainly would, you know, I actually encourage it. I actually will sometimes just purposely stay out of the way because I appreciate the fact that his interactions with our first responders and the support that he shows them. So what's a random thought or something that sticks out in your head over the last 8 years that he may have done?
Well, my husband and I have, we've lived in Tampa now for 5 of those 8 years. And, you know, I've said to you on many occasions, the situation in Seminole Heights, was a horrible, horrible, time for this city, but at the very same time was one of the most incredible, and remarkable things that I've ever been through. And I think one of the moments that stuck out for me, with you, Mr. Mayor, is when we were setting up for our pumpkin festival in Hampton Terrace, and you pulled up in the Suburban and you rolled down the window and you just had this smile on your face, and everyone came over to the SUV to talk to you. you sat there and talked to us, and, you know, it was important for you to be out and about and wanting to see what's going on. And it's your heart. I mean, you are such a genuine person, and you are blessed with a gift to speak to people from your heart. And as I've said, every interaction that I've had with you I've always looked forward to the next one. You're a remarkable individual, just remarkable.
Well, Brian, that mojo doesn't work with my 13-year-old daughter, so I appreciate the fact that it works with somebody.
Oh, man. And you've got an amazing sense of humor.
All righty, Brian, we really appreciate the call.
And remember, Brian,
absolutely.
The next time you see me, I may be your Uber driver, so hit me with 5 stars, would you, brother?
That absolutely. You have my word.
Thanks, Brian.
Godspeed, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, well, that is our first call.
First
caller, just absolutely amazing. You know, Mayor, as we wrap up, we just have a little over 3 minutes left. You know, so what does the future hold for Bob Buckhorn?
You know, Chief, I don't know. I've given it less thought than most people would surmise, and you're right, I do get asked about that frequently. I have a daughter that is starting college this summer, and so it's a good time for me to be able to spend a lot of time with her. I need a vacation. I've never been able to go away during hurricane season. So I will be able to do that and leave that burden to you. And then I'm going to just take time to think about what it is that I want to do and what it is that potentially will come close, although I don't think I'll ever find it, to giving me the same joy that being the mayor does and coming to work every day at this job. So, you know, we'll figure it out. Everyone has a season. My season is ending. I'm stepping off the stage and let the next mayor sort of bask in what this city has become. You know, I think we're leaving that person, her, a great city, and it's going to be up to her to take it and write Tampa's next chapter, and I'll be cheering from the sidelines.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you have had a wonderful run, and it's going to be hard for someone to follow up. She clearly has a good grasp on how the city operates and the neighborhoods and everything we do. But like you said, it was, you know, drinking water from a fire hydrant. And I always used to tell people, I said, well, if there's anyone, he's the most qualified. Sometimes in politics, we've discussed it before, the most qualified doesn't always get elected, you know, but fortunately.
And there are consequences for those elections too. So, I mean, I don't know when this is going to run, but people need to pay attention and they need to go vote.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's probably, you know, and I realize because I'm the chief, I'm more at the forefront of being aware of what's going on. But I'd have to say it's probably the most important election in modern times in the city of Tampa.
You know, I would agree with you. And politicians say that at every election. But I think Tampa is at such a pivotal point. And we are poised on the verge of something really, really special. And it's going to take the next mayor to build on my work, just like I built on Pam's work, who built on Dick's work, to get us to that next level. It is a journey. It never ends. And so the job's never finished, but we can't afford to waste all of the work of the last 8 years to get us to this point, to squander it. And I am confident that she will be that person. She doesn't have to be me. I have a particular skill set. Her authenticity, I think, will carry her through, and, you know, she'll learn the rest of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, you have a gift and you have a unique way of doing things, and it would be pressure for anyone, just as I did, you know, replacing my predecessors. You know, I had to do it my own way and try and figure things out. So, you know, as we ride off in the sunset of our premiere show, I know I just want to remind everybody they'll be able to follow you at Bob Buckhorn on Twitter, and you have a very active account, and
I
so
do.
We'll be able to follow up with you.
I will be even less filtered than I am now.
And we like that. We appreciate that about you. And so there you have it. That closes the curtains on the premiere show of Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan, and we thank you for listening.
Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan is directed and produced by Janelle McGregor, with technical assistance provided by Eddie Durkin, Steve Haggerty, and Derek Lang. Keep the conversation going on social media, following @TampaPD on Facebook and Twitter, and use the hashtag Roll Call.